Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through the end of the chapter, verse 46. When? Everybody say when.
When.
All right, so that gets us all lined up. We're now on the same track. That is good. When the Son of Man comes in his glory with all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. Who wants to be there for that? I want to be there for that. Amen? Amen. Heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And the righteous will answer him, those that make it through. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of these least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Lord, as you have selected us to soar, as you have selected us for glory, as you have picked us out for a purpose, Lord, that is beyond what any of us can accomplish on our own, I come before you this morning, I pray an anointing upon our time. I pray that as we gather as sheep, we hear your voice and bend a knee, find our purpose in you. That if we come as goats, we hear truth. So there will be no doubt when that day comes, what lies in store for us. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, I hope you are indeed part of the kingdom of God. I hope that the plan of God and the purpose of God resonates in your heart. And I hope that there is no confusion in your life and in your mind about what all that entails. Because when I came to the Lord, I had great confusion. I had a whole lot of pain in my life. Anybody relate to that? I came out of great destruction. I was 29 years old, a drug addict and alcoholic for 15 years, and my life was pretty much destroyed. And I gave my life to the Lord, walking down the street and said, Lord, you can have my life. I have destroyed it. And he came into my life. Anybody feel that? You know, the Lord just came into your life and transformed you and transformed your situations. Well, he did that for me. And I started going, to this little tiny Episcopalian church. And I met this girl, and she took me to this church of like 1,000. And it was hopping, man. The Episcopalian church had like 12 people in it. I said, man, So then across the freeway, there was an even bigger church, 5,000 people. I said, man, I'm thousands bigger than 12, 5,000 bigger than this, right? And so anyway, I got involved there, met my wonderful wife there. I talked about that last week. Pastor Scott is here today. You can give him accolades for what he was going to do last week. He might not have listened to the tape, but he indeed does deserve accolades. And so anyway, I got plugged in. I started going to Sunday school. I went to this Sunday school class called Singles in the Word. And man, I am just growing and stuff is going on and I'm so excited to be there. You know, I'm going to study the Word of God. You know, I'm saved for like, I don't know, 4 months. 5 months, 6 months, right? And I am me, and I'm in that class, and I sit down, and the guy for like an icebreaker thing says, okay, what do you guys like to do to relax? And I mean, there's 40, 50 people in the class, and nobody says anything. I'm like, come on, people. So he says, really, what do you guys like to do to relax? And I was like, dude, I like to kick back. I like to crack me out a big old fat Macanudo. That's a cigar, if you can't understand what that is, right? And then, I've been saved a little while, okay? So I pull out my copy of Heartbreak Ridge on VHS, man, and I just get myself like an iced tea, put my feet up, crack that smoke up, and I'm just checking out Heartbreak Ridge, which, by the way, it's an R-rated movie. And the class is silent. And the teacher goes, anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? And so the class goes on, and you know, I came out of that class, and nobody said one word to me about that. Selected to soar. God has a choice for you. Last week we looked at soaring together. Looked at two Greek words. Ekklesia on the top there means church, and koinonia means fellowship or participation. And we talked about God's people working God's plan, experiencing God's presence. And it is an incredible thing. And I want to let you know today that God's plan for you is about more than just getting by. God's plan for you is about more than just struggling through the week and pulling in here and go, whoo, made it through that way. God's plan for us is for victory. We are to conquer. We are to subject. We are to overcome. And it comes that way from the very beginning. Genesis 1:28. God says about, or blesses Adam and Eve, and he says, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, overcome it, rule, everybody say rule.
Rule,
rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God's got a purpose for you. You'd be a conqueror. The Bible talks about being a conqueror in Christ. God calls us together, that koinonia and that ecclesia, come on, and he gives us a purpose that we can indeed find fullness in Christ. Today we're going to take a look at the body of Christ. What are we supposed to do? What does God want us to do? And the big question is, are we doing it? My question for you today, are you doing it? I saw Reuben, you couldn't really see me because of this music stand. I know you want to be able to see me, buddy. There we go. Also for you, Maddie, but mainly for Reuben. Are we doing it and are we getting it done? Jesus is going to build his church and he gives us each a part to play. He calls us to soar together, and he calls us to soar on purpose. Are we good? Yes. Are we good? Yes. All right. All right, so here we go. God gives us an environment for success. Look around. This is your environment for success. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people. If you're one of God's people, put your hand up. For works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And God gives us resources for reconstruction. Help is available right here. I have help today. David Sandoval is going to be my helper today. And he's going to be my builder. There you go, buddy. You can build it from right there in front. There you go. Yeah, we won't be able to see that. He's going to be my helper today. You got helpers. Church has helpers, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Go ahead, buddy. Build that up. He's going to build thing for me, and you're going to see that. Yeah, he's going to do good. A little round of applause for David Sandoval this morning. Yes. I gave him permission to miss his class so that he could help us today. Praise the Lord. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, a broad range of leadership for the development of the church. A lot of people that are in various stages of working things out. Church is set up for you to line yourself up on God. Find fullness in Christ. How you doing? Are you finding that? I hope that you are. There are a lot of people in various stages of working it out. I talked about one of the stages, my early stages, with Heartbreak Ridge and my Macanudos. You know, Macanudo back in the day still cost $12. I shudder to think what they cost today, but it's been a while since I bought a Macanudo, probably 20 years. And sometimes you come into the church and you just got to take a breath. Whew. It's been a tough week. Amen? There's some crazy stuff going on out there. And it is nice to come in here and realize that it's not you that are the crazy one. There are people that are grabbing onto some crazy stuff. And you look on the TV and people call it normal. Man, I almost took a sidetrack. I'm not going to go there. You good? That's good, buddy. You can just leave it just like that. All right, go find your seat. Go sit next to your dad. A little round of applause. House of God. Oh, let's see. It's for Reuben right here. See it, Reuben? All right, okay. Let me make sure you get all the stuff we got going on here. Come in here, recharge. Life is a challenge out there. See, you're not crazy and people grabbing on the wacky stuff. You can say, is that wacky? You can say, yeah, it's wacky. Man, I thought it was just me. Because everybody I see on TV, they're all wacky. Paul tells us that we're in here for one of two reasons today. That you are in here for radical reconstruction in your life. Bible talks about stepping from darkness into light, stepping out of the kingdom of this world and into the kingdom of God. And if you have done that, you know that it is indeed the most radical transformation that you will ever experience in your life. Amen? If you are not here for that today, you are here to help somebody do that today. Amen? So get it or help somebody get it. There's one of the two options that Paul is talking about. Amen? Because there are all these other people. There's all these helpers. There's all these resources in the church to help you move along from Heartbreak Ridge. Amen? All right, let's keep going. There's a target. God wants you to find. Jesus wants you to find. We all that are here that know Christ as our Savior wants you to find fullness in Christ. Monday nights. Celebrate recovery, fullness in Christ. Right, Ro? Amen. Wednesday night, Way of the Master, find fullness in Christ. Bible study on Tuesdays and Fridays, mainly in Spanish. I think all in Spanish. 1 o'clock, fullness in Christ. We want you to have that. He says, then we will no longer be infants, right? Talking about finding that maturity. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blow here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. And from Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Does that sound good to anyone? That sounds good to me. You know, because when we come with a whole lot of instability. I did. Did you come with instability in your life? This is what Paul says that we come like. Barely able to stand. Barely able to walk. Unstable in all that we do. Maybe you've heard the phrase, baby Christian. This text that we're reading from is where it comes from. Because as we come into the faith, we come out of the world and we are indeed polluted. Paul gives us this description of immature or baby Christians. And your immaturity is a display or a measure of how easily you are pushed over. I would imagine that if you just barely put a little finger on this little guy's head, he would just tumble straight back. That's the way baby Christians are. Baby Christians buy the lie. Now, anybody this week get an offer for 2 free cups of Starbucks in their email? Nobody? I'm the only one? Man, maybe it was real. You know, how about a $100 Macy's card? Anybody? Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, Macy's, come on now. And Greece vacation. Yeah. You know, it's just spam. Right in the trash can, right? Can I get a witness? But you know what? Sometimes it's work. Sometimes people click that button, go here and claim your coffee reward. All you need is your social security number, date of birth, address, all that stuff. People will buy that for, $10, right? 2 cups of coffee. They buy the lie. And they lose everything. Paul says it can be that way in your Christian life. Hear that kid back there? You know what that kid is? That kid's like that. Can he even walk yet, Maddie? No, see? You could stand him up and he wouldn't even be able to stand at all. Baby Christians, just like that. You hear that? There it is. Free advertising right there. It looks so good. Who is that guy preaching? I think he might be the best looking man I've ever seen. Is that what he's saying? That's what he's saying. He's looking right at me when he's doing that. He's reaching out. No, I'm talking about buying the lie, though. Aren't I? Yeah. But you get past the Starbucks. You get past the lie. You're not going to Greece, you know. Don't send a check to Nicaragua, you know, or to Nigeria. Right? Yes, I'm from Nigeria. I'll send you a cashier check. Send me the back. All in the trash. Don't buy the lie. Paul says it happens in the church. See, there's lies that will come and will get you off track. Get you off track the purpose that God has for you. Put a little spin. Devil puts a little spin on the truth of God and gets you spinning off out of control. You come to the church. I mean, it's like, really? You clicked on the thing for free Starbucks? Dude, you got to speak the truth in love, though. Why? Because everybody wants free Starbucks. It's real. No, it's not real. See, love kills the lie. And you got to do it in a loving way because that works because it's attractive, and we start biting off on it, we start grabbing onto it, and we want it to be real, but it's not real. Love hangs on a cross. The lie kills the cross. Jesus says, that you can't follow me without a cross.
Amen.
Amen? Heartbreak Ridge. I would, as I said, crack out that Macanudo and get a whole box of Macanudo. That looked just like that box. Sit down and watch it, you know, and watch it through. And there's like no sex, and there's a lot of shooting, you know, a little bit of cussing, and watch it through. And I would get, I got to where I got about 3/4 through one day. I said, I got other stuff to do. So I put the Macanudos away and put the movie away, VHS, you know, back in the day. And, you know, next several days, you know, just need a break, just chill out, grab another Macanudo, pop that baby in, rewind it. Remember rewinding it? Rewind it. Start that baby up. Got about halfway through. Man, I got things to do. And it progressed. Last time I watched that VHS copy, Heartbreak Ridge, opening credits, I turned it off. I got other things to do. So you come to the Lord for healing, and He'll give you purpose. The important thing is, make sure you get the healing. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to keep talking about this. God's Paul's path for progress. We're talking about serving the Lord. We're talking about grabbing on to God's plan. We're talking about getting stability in our lives. We're talking about soaring on purpose. Okay? Talked in this series, soaring in the Word, soaring in worship, soaring together. Three suggestions for success. 2 Timothy 2:2. And these things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Three suggestions for success. Number one, Paul says, get a good source. The things you've heard me say, the teachings of Paul, are a good source for making progress in your life with the Lord. Amen? Paul wrote the books from Romans to Hebrews. Some people say he wrote Hebrews. We don't know who the writer of Hebrews was. I'm not going to argue on that, but that would be 12, possibly 13 books of the 27 books in the New Testament. It's a good book. It will help you discover who Christ is and move you along in your purpose to serve Him, soaring in the Word. Amen? Amen. Every time you come to this church, we will teach you out of this book. I've been here next month, Lisa and I will have been here 18 years. Not one time have I ever stood in this pulpit or the plastic pulpit that was here before and not opened up, actually, this Bible. You will always get the Word when you come here. It's a good book. Paul says, get a good source. Paul says, get some good teachers. Get some reliable people, people that you can count on. Couldn't preach this message today without the help of David Sandoval. A round of applause for David Sandoval. I am blessed by David this morning. I am blessed by his father sitting right next to him. I am blessed by so many of you. I'm blessed by Roki sitting back there keeping track of the soundboard and the lights. I'm blessed by Teresa Sandoval down teaching this morning and Kyra teaching as well. I'm blessed by the 13 people on the Acts 2 team that will be meeting afterward, the worship team that comes up there. God would not build this house without so many of you that have found your purpose and follow Him. Amen?
Amen.
We just looked at, he says, grab some people that are mature. We just spent a few minutes in Ephesians chapter 4 looking at immaturity. What immaturity looks like. He says, don't grab somebody like that because the immature are by definition unstable and unreliable. And we're talking about your life here. Are you reliable? Do you have a strong base? Looking at these blocks right here. These are the building blocks of your life. How stable are you? How reliable are you? Can people count on you? Or are you constantly making excuses about why you weren't there? Paul addresses the issue of integrity, specifically honesty. Oh, I jumped my list here. I'm just going to jump to my next one. 1 Timothy, I'm going to read to you verses 8 through 12. He talks about other requirements in verses 1 through 7. And he also talks about similar requirements in the book of Titus, chapter 1. And Paul describes the requirements for reliability. Now, I use the word servants here. And that is what this word means. It is often translated deacons. I didn't want you to think about deacons because a lot of people think deacons, well, I'm not a deacon. Well, Jesus said you're going to be the greatest among you would be your servant, right? Same word. So, servants are to be men, I will say, or women, worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much, everybody say that word? Much wine. Everybody, not indulging in much?
Wine.
Very good. One more time. Not indulging in much?
Wine.
There we go. See, we did that first, now we're back on track. Very good. Not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep a hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate, trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Talking more about maturity and stability. And he talks about integrity. He talks about honesty. And he talks about dishonest gain. Don't be a thief. Don't lie about food stamps. Don't cheat on your taxes. Be open before the Lord. Line up on the Lord and receive His provision. You'll find stability in your life. He talks about intoxication. He talks about a problem back in the day. Anybody familiar with Steel Reserve? That is ghetto booze, folks. You can't hardly find Steel Reserve out of the ghetto because, believe me, back in the day, it was the cheapest beer on the shelf. And that was its testimony to popularity. Do you not love much wine? It includes Steel Reserve. Can I get a witness on that? Anybody got a problem making a tie between a rebuttal or a problem with wine and tying that to beer? Pretty easy tie, amen? I'm going to show you another tie. All this other stuff, marijuana, crack, heroin. I don't know what the candies are in this picture. I just pulled it out this morning. You can make that tie too. Paul says that if you're going to have stability in your life, you're not going to have it if you've got this stuff in your life. Amen. You can't handle this, you're not going to be able to handle God's purpose for your life. Now, I was intoxicated from when I was 15 to when I was 30, 29. These are part of your life. Get some help. We got help. Monday night. Hurts, habits, and hang-ups. I haven't drank or smoked cigar 25 years. The reason I don't smoke cigars is not because it's in the Bible. It's because I don't want any of you guys seeing me doing that. I have a witness. And you know what? If my desire for cigars overrides my witness to you, I'm not much of a pastor. I don't have any stability in my life. Why? Because I'm controlled by the things around me. If you're controlled by the things around you, if you've got a problem with dishonest financial gain, deal with it. God has bigger things in store for you. Amen? Paul also includes, I got to go back. Your home life. Now, I've been knowing Roki a long time. And Roki came here, and he was tore up from the floor up. And realistically, if you look at Roki today, that is the last thing you describe Roki as. Amen? But Roki got saved. Well, Roki got saved and got mad and got saved and got saved. But you come into this church. Aaron Bugs come into this church with his wonderful wife, Elsie, right? And they say, we want to get right with God. Great. Well, your kids are lagging behind. Because they've seen you jump from hot iron to hot iron to hot iron. Oh, this is what church is, the new hot iron. And it takes a while. It takes a while for you to get your house in order. But Paul says, don't grab onto leaders in the church to grab onto my purpose until they've dealt with these areas in their lives. Because there is inherent weakness. And as you start trying to build on the things of God, or things, build the things of God onto your life, and you are unstable, you start building on, man, I'm looking good. Look at this. I'm doing this at the church. I'm an usher. I'm a teacher. Oh. There was a point when my wife says, I'm not going to ask anybody else to be on the worship team. Because invariably, we would talk to somebody about being on the worship team, and they would fail. And they would fail. And they would fail. I'll tell you what, you stand up here, and you're going to lead people, lead God's people into worship. You stand up here and take an offering. You stand up here as God's man or God's woman. Devil goes, oh, really? You didn't fix that part at home, did you? Oh, yeah, what about that Matthew last week? He just starts kicking out your foundation. No matter how good you're grabbing, until you build your base, it's never going to work. You got a witness on that? All right. So, now he gave some to be apostles and teachers, or pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. It's my job to make sure that you've got a base. We got new members coming in. One of the questionnaires on the application form is, or statement on the questionnaire on the form is, I am not going to get high. Get drunk, get high, get whatever. And if you're getting drunk, you're getting high today, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you are coming to become aware about the Lord. But I'm not going to make you a member of this church until you've got some stability. We're also going to say, hey, I'm not going to be involved in fornication. Okay, for those of you who don't know Bible words, that means I'm not going to have sex with anybody I'm not married to. Yeah. And you know what? We're not going to make you a member if you can't do those two things. But, hey, you know what? I told somebody this yesterday. Shall remain nameless. I have a card right here. I will marry you for free. I'll make you, Aaron Bugs came to me that day and said, I will marry you right now. And they said, well, we can't get married right now. You can stop fornicating, you line up with God. We got married right away. We had a big old first anniversary party. There's lots of ways to work it out. The thing is, you got to want to work it out. Yeah. Amen? Amen? All right, let me move ahead. Are we okay? Yeah. All right, that was a little off the notes there. No extra charge, though. All right. Final exam. Final exam. Good finish requires a good start. 1 Corinthians 13, 10 to 13. By the grace given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. David Sandoval. A little round of applause for the builder. Come on up here, buddy. All righty. He says, each one of you should be careful. Now, be careful on this one. All right. to be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on a foundation using, Shay, show that one up. Show those two up. Hold them up high. Gold and silver. Hold it up again. Some people didn't believe me. They're really heavy. He's just really strong. Yeah, all right. Go ahead, buddy. Thank you. You got that, huh, Aaron? Yeah, like that. All right, here we go. Yes. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Life is filled with false starts and false hopes. Can I get a witness? The only start that's going to get you lined up on God is to start your life anew on Jesus Christ as your firm foundation. If you build your life on anything else, it will crumble. As Rocky discovered time after time after time, he got right with God and got that wonderful wife that he has. And I'll tell you what, you take a look at that man and he is a picture of stability. Can I get a witness on that? Paul presents two ways to build. That's cool, buddy. Thank you. You can move into your purpose, talking about the building blocks in your life. You can build cheap, or you can build expensive. Wood, hay, and stubble, or gold and silver. Cheap or expensive? Mail it in. Just try to get by, or put all your focus and all your heart into the things of God. These are the building blocks of your life. Paul describes your effort while in the body of Christ. How do you describe your life? Wood, hay, and stubble? Gold and silver. Just getting by, mailing it in, or working with purpose and focus, totally relying on the Lord to guide you. So you come for help, and God gives you purpose. It might take a minute to get there while you're getting some healing. Amen? How many people came to the Lord for help? Man, I'm so messed up. I did. I got help. God gave me purpose. In the end, if you take a look at these blocks that David Sandoval so wonderfully built, this is a display of your life. And in the end, everybody's going to know what's in there. In the end, you'll know what's in there. No lying. God already knows what's in there. He's doing all he can to show you the good and the bad. And you'll notice in here that not all of it is gold and silver. There is some wood, hay, and stubble in anybody's life. But the end will know which is which. He says it will be revealed with fire, and fire will test the quality of each man's work. Fire will test the quality of each man's life. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. See, he says that if you have built your life on Jesus Christ as your foundation, you will be saved. And he moves on real quick. I hope your life is based on Christ. I hope there's a tower that is being built. Because if not, it doesn't matter what you're building. The challenges of life are going to cause it all to tumble away. He says a fire is going to come. There's a final exam at the end. And everything will be tested. And if you have ever burnt a fire, I hope everybody's burned a fire in a fireplace or and a barbecue or something. And when you get to the end, there's just ashes left. You know what I'm talking about? But you know what happens when you burn gold and silver? All the impurities are burned off, and all that is left is pure gold and pure silver. And at the end of your life, you will meet the Lord, and all the stuff that you just mailed in gets burned off. And what you spend eternity with is the gold and the silver and the precious gems. You'll be saved if Christ is your foundation. We're talking about reward. Now, you came in here today just for help. You're not sweating reward. You came in here saying, Pastor, I'm so messed up. I can't even think about anything past today. Okay. There's help here. Come to God for help, and He'll help you. Come to this church for help. It is filled with people that will help you. Come in here today. Stick around for lunch, because George is down there cooking right now, getting lunch ready for you. I hope you sit down and chat and talk and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. There's help that's here. People will put their arms around you and help you and care for you. Amen? Come to God for help. He'll help you, and He'll give you a purpose. Soaring on purpose is what we're talking about today. Are you soaring? Soaring in the Word, soaring in worship, soaring together, soaring on purpose. Is that you? Are you soaring? Are you moving into the fullness of life? Come to God for help. He'll help you and give you purpose. Are you fulfilling His purpose for your life? Lisa and I were called to this church 18 years ago. I was called to be a pastor. And I left the church where I met Lisa just barely, man, for like a month. Went to go to Bible college. And I came back from Bible college to be an intern at the church. And I was an intern in the singles ministry, and there's like 700 people in the singles ministry. And one Sunday, I remember this guy, he came up to me and he said, remember that Sunday school class? Heartbreak Ridge. And we started laughing. It was so long ago. Actually, it was about a year ago, year before, year and a half before. But I want to let you know this morning that when I got to Heartbreak Ridge, and when I got to smoking a Macanudo, that was a milestone for me. Because the rest of my life was tore up from the floor up. And for me to get to a point in my life where I was not intoxicated, wasn't chasing whatever it was to get high, and just be able to be calm enough and sit and smoke a cigar and watch a movie, I needed healing in my life. And being able to do that in a non-destructive manner gave me the time to get healed. And maybe you are here this morning and you need to be healed. You need to come to a place where it's safe and you can recharge and you can get your boundaries straight and you can learn how to talk or walk, not be like that little kid, that little toddler that was up there. And you can wait for God to give you a purpose. When I got to a Macanudo and to Heartbreak Ridge, it was a milestone. When I left the Macanudo cigars and Heartbreak Ridge, it was a milestone. Amen. because I had the time of healing and God was moving me into purpose. Amen? You want to come up and play, Lisa? And that could be you today. You might need to be healed, but there might be some things in your life that are like the Macanudos and the Heartbreak Ridge that you've held on to them for long enough. And the Lord's saying, it's today. Time to move on. Amen? Because for you to get that purpose, you've got to drop some of the stuff off that's keeping you from progressing. And that could be you this morning. And perhaps you're just flat out ready for purpose, man. Whoo! You're saying, Lord, I am ready to go. You know, church I went to had a big old giant altar. And I got progress in my healing. I got directions from the Lord. I got so much in my life. I come down after church and say, okay, God, I am hearing from you. What do you have for me? He would speak right to my heart. He would say, you know, he didn't say, leave the Heartbreak Ridge behind. But when I did, I said, Lord, I'm ready. And he showed me where I needed to go. I don't know where you're at today. But you can stand with me. The worship team's going to come. We're going to sing, what are we going to sing? Who was there like you? Question for God. Maybe you got another question for God. What do I need to let go? Maybe it's, Lord, can you heal me? Oh, Lord, I'm so messed up. Can you heal me? Right up here. Surgery happens. Lord, what do you got for me? Right up here. Guides and directions happen. So, we're going to sing a couple songs. I invite you to come up. Get some surgery. Get some direction. God speaks clearly right up here. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's sing.
Who is there like you? Two else would give their life for me, even suffering.